Sing to the Savior a song of praise. Come, let us worship the Lord. Trust in His might, walk in His light. Come, let us worship, worship the Lord. Praise are His wonders and grant His ways. Come, let us worship the Lord. Heavens proclaim,
Jesus shall reign.
Come, let us worship, worship the Lord. Let us worship the Lord, worship the Lord. Come, let us worship the Lord. Lift up your voice, sing and rejoice. Come, let us worship, worship the Lord.
Son of Jehovah, yet Son of Man.
Conquering Lion, yet suffering Lamb. Worship, worship, come, let us worship the Lord forever. Worship, worship, come, let us worship the Lord. Sing to the God of eternity. Come, let us worship the Lord. He is the King, rise up and sing. Come, let us worship, worship the Lord. Sing to the Victor of Calvary. Come, let us worship the Lord.
Honor the Son,
Jesus as one.
Come, let us worship, worship the Lord. Let us worship the Lord, worship the Lord. Come, let us worship the Lord. Lift up your voice, sing and rejoice. Come, let us worship, worship the Lord.
Son of Jehovah, yes, Son of Man.
Conquering Lion, yes, suffering Lamb. Worship, worship, come, let us worship the Lord forever. Worship, worship, come, let us worship the Lord. Worship the Lord. Worship the Lord. Come, let us worship. Worship, come, let us worship the Lord.
Good morning, and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us for the first time today, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your bulletin and drop it in the collection plate or give it to an usher. And Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. Also, would you please refer to your bulletin for activities scheduled for this afternoon and the insert in your bulletin for activities scheduled during the week and next Sunday. There will be a quarterly congregational business meeting today directly following this service, and we encourage you to attend this meeting if you're able to do so. At the 3:30 Bible class, Pastor Tomlinson will be looking into the scripture in the part two of the to answer the question, what is the function of the church? Our scripture reading printed in your bulletin is from Psalm 147, verse 7. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God. We will be singing now the first and last stanzas of the hymns this morning, so let us begin our worship with hymn number 34, Immortal, Invisible. Let us continue our worship with hymn number 337, Teach Me Thy Way, O Lord. Will you please stand now as we sing hymn number 261, Trust and Obey.
Standing for prayer. Father, we come into the throne of grace in the name of our high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are glad, Father, that we do not need other high priest to come. He is the final. He is the end. He is the culmination of that beautiful passage of Hebrews 7 when Melchizedek comes into the picture. And we have then an everlasting high priest. Oh, Father, how grateful we are that our high priest is not a man bound by sin, but a sinless person seated at the right hand of God, interceding for us, as the scripture said. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. And then, Father, you have given us the commission to go and teach and make disciples. And you have designed the church as the institution to do so. And so, Father, we open the doors again in Bethel and Morgan Hill in California and United States of America. So the people here in our town and the surrounding towns around us and people around the world via internet, radio, CD ministry, tape ministry may hear again and again the word of the mighty God. That's what counts. The word of God who brings life. Like Jesus said in John 6:63, my words are life and the spirit produces life. Oh Father, how grateful we are that we still hold with freedom the Bible in our hands. The enemy knows that that's the power book that opens the minds of people. And so, Father, we pray for those countries who the Bible is not open to be read in public. As Ramil just has shared with me, that in China, he has difficulties because he was reading the Bible in a coffee shop. Father, bless those Chinese believers and gave them a strength and gave them wisdom on how to deal with the situation. We actually do not know the stress of life as other people do. But Father, sometimes we complain and we ask you to forgive us for our complaint. Our God has changed from time to time into gold or into things of life. And we pray that you realign our focus into Christ Jesus and that our happiness will be the source of having Jesus Christ in our heart. Father, we pray for the life of our church, that we will be a light into the community and in service for those in need of a spiritual help. Father, we pray, praise you for Loretta Forrest, a group of people with myself. We have visited her on bed, and we know there is the end of her life. She's coming down the hill, but with honor and praise and with an attitude of thanksgiving toward you and toward those who have been a partnership with her. Lord, thank you for the example that Loretta Forrest has given all of us last Friday. And Father, we pray that you bless her to the very end. Lord, I have been in touch with Jerry West, and he sounds good. He need to have a further examination in September on his possibilities of cancer. And we pray that you and your mighty wisdom give him the pleasure to know that God is in control of all our bodies. And give him the knowledge of the Almighty, that he may love you and that he may follow you. Lord, we are grateful that many of our people are in vacation, and some of them working in foreign countries. Quay, I don't know if he's still away, but bless him wherever he is. And we pray for Toyan and Henry June. I think that they are coming from Korea this week. Father, for Victor and Darlene as they travel from San Diego back home, and for Donald Detwiller, the young fellow who took the place of Russell in the church, who is on vacation this Sunday. He has permission. Pastor, can I go on vacation? And I laugh so well. Such a good harmony and love that we have in our church. Oh, God, never change it, because life is driven by love, and then we are happy. Father, thank you for our missionaries. Fred Lewis have communicated with me an email that his shoulder is well improved. His wife now needs some treatment, but not so serious like him. And he's anxious to relocate and to do the new ministry you have for him. For Carol and Ruth Knott in Sevilla, Spain. For Eusebio and Marisa Perez in Malaga, Spain. For David and Denise Rhodes in Papua, New Guinea. And Giovanni and Barbara Bendaño in Guatemala. Marta Poretti in Buenos Aires. Thank you for the jewel, Father. Marta last Sunday attended the service in another church where one of the fellows who was in the rehabilitation center was baptized as he had come to believe in the Lord Jesus. Lord, what a victory, I told Marta. She wanted to see 30, 40 coming to the Lord. But Lord, one out of 70 have a step out of the line and came to know Jesus. That's victory, Father, and thank you for that. And thank you for the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center, a light in the midst of trouble, a Christian Athletic Association for the young people in San Jose, and for Daniel and Miriam Lacey. And Daniel, I think, is in Ohio, and will come back home on Monday. He has 3 or 4 days now in a new race there. So, Father, bless him as he talked to these drivers and as he explained to them that just take 1 second to go to eternity. What are we going to do? With God, we better believe now. Thank you for these missionaries who do a particular work that no one of us can do, because you gave them a special gift, whatever they are. And, Lord, thank you for providing for our church. It is amazing how your people with sacrifice gave in this church, and the church match every budget, every quarter. And so, Father, we are thankful for the love that your people have for the ministry. Bless us today as the choir will sing, our brother will read the Holy Scripture, and I will attempt to explain what you mean when you said that you want a pure life in each one of us. In Jesus, we pray and thank you. Amen. You may be seated.
and with all who will trust and obey.
Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
But we never can prove the delights of his love until all
choir. Will you please take your Bibles now and turn to Paul's epistle to the Romans. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 668. We will be reading Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 21. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 21. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for such a great salvation that has been provided for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that no good thing dwells in the flesh, but mercifully you have given us the mind of Christ, and we know that we who believe are a new creation. We thank you for the grace we have received because of the final blood sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to conduct ourselves according to knowledge of your word, we pray. We pray now for your servant, our teacher and pastor. May you bless him as he comes to impart the spiritual food to us from your word, and bless us with understanding and the ability to live according to your precepts. We pray also for those listening on the radio and internet and on tape and CD, especially for those who do not know you, that they may also believe all that is written and come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Would you please be seated?
Thank you, my brother. And once again, I'd like you to open your Bible to the book of Romans, where we find our third explanation about faith. This month of May, we focus on faith. And we look to first to Romans 4 and the faith of Abraham. And he believed. The Bible just simply used one word about Abraham. He believed. And no other word is used about him. He believed. Now we look into the mothers that have faith. And the Bible makes a highlight. Remember last Sunday on two mothers. One is a mother, the other is a grandmother. Now they were mother and grandmother of our great Timothy, the disciple of Paul. And the Bible tells us, as we studied last Sunday, that these mothers had genuine faith. They were not phony. The apostle said, I know, Timothy, that you are for real, because your mother was for real, and your grandmother was for real. And that's the faith that you and I should have. Now today, we like to look into faith illustrated by you and me. Personal behavior. Would people know that you are a Christian by the way you and I behave? Somebody comes to your home and visits in your home and you are not guarding yourself because you have a guest, but you are naturally dealing with your wife, with your husband, with your children. Would people learn that they are visiting a home of a Christian family because we behave like Christians? All right, let's look on it. I first want to give you a background, a psychological background on the Romans. You have a book in the Bible written to the Romans. That's to the Roman Church of Italy. Now, the Romans, I don't know if you study philosophy or not. I studied for over 5 years when I was in my country. The Romans had a false notion that a person's conscience could be controlled by law. That's the notion the Romans have. So they make illegal to be different in the empire. They thought that your behavior can be controlled by law, and so therefore it is illegal not to be a Roman. You have to behave like a Roman and talk like a Roman. Remember, at the time the book was written, Roman was in orgies and homosexuality, like in America, was out on the streets, and divorce was common. It's just like America today. On the worst behavior you ever have, were the Romans. At the time, Paul finds some Christians there, then he writes to them. In the Roman Empire, all the people had to conform to a pagan costume. All had to behave like true Romans. Amazing. Just like America. If you tell somebody who is a homosexual and you tell it in love that that's wrong according to the scripture, that's harassment in America and you can be put in jail. You know that? I was informed about that. Well, I'm going to preach on that. And they take me to jail if they want to. They're going to do it in the church, but they can do it outside in the street. Thank God in America it's a rule. Whatever the pastor does in the church, it's the church. And it's your fault to be in church, so I'm not guilty. But if I do it on the coffee shop, that would be an honor to tell people it's wrong to be homosexual and so on. So this is America. The book of Romans is written to the Americans today. Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, took up his pen and wrote words to the Christians of all time. Look at verse 2. Romans 12 and verse 2. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, said verse 1, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And now, look at verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world. The word is cosmos, means to the world system, to the society in which you believe. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Times have changed, but human nature hasn't. Though the methods are different, the pagan world is still trying to stamp their conformity to every follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those words of Paul, do not be conformed to this world, have tremendous significance and meaning for us today. These words cut like a sharp sword across our way of life. To all of us, do not be conformed. Especially to pastors and deacons who want to modernize the system of churches. They are not very easy words to take. They separate the weak from the strong. But they are words of inspiration, and we need to look at today. All right? Are you ready? We're going to really study this morning. Faith illustrated by personal behavior. First, we must not be conformed to this world mentally, in your mind. Look at verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. First, we must not be conformed to this world mentally. The world, by its advertising, its conversation, and its philosophy, is engaged in a giant brainwashing task. If you watch television, you saw this Da Vinci Code heresy is over and over and over showing over the television. And what the Satan wants is you to look into that heresy and into that ignorance of God and to look on it and waste your time and be influenced by that. That's the world. That's what the world wants to do. However, here is what the scripture counsels us in order to renew our mind. We need to renew our mind. How we do that? We go to college. No. You're going to learn very little about God in college, unless it's a Christian college. How do we renew our mind? Will you turn your Bible to Philippians 2:5, page 692. Page 692, Philippians chapter 2. and verse 5. Look at what the scripture says. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Is that simple? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What the scripture says, in order to change our mind, let us all together have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. And thank God for the Bible, we can know the mind of Christ. We can look into what Christ has done. We can spend a week together looking into the Bible and what Christ has done. And I'm going to show you some of the things you need to look on it. For example, for husbands and wives and children, Christ was a gentle, meek person. Look at Matthew 11, verse 29, page 5, 6, 8. Matthew 11, page 29, page 5, 6, 8. Look what the Bible says. Matthew 11, verse 29. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am, the King James said, meek. I am gentle and lowly in the heart. And you will find rest in your soul. You got it? If you are a gentle father, you will have a restful home. You will find rest in your soul. If you are a gentle mother, you will have a peaceful children. The mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. He was meek. He can do with his power whatever he wants to, but he didn't. He just followed God's steps all the way through. He could smite the soldier before he put his spear on his side. He could, but he didn't. Because he just obeyed the Father. A meek person follow rules, follow the way to go. Jesus was a meek person. Jesus was a humble person. Look at Matthew 20. You're in Matthew, there 11. Go to Matthew 20 and look in verse 26, Matthew chapter 20 and verse 26. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desire to become great among you, let him be your servant. Jesus is talking, and he's talking to his disciples to be humble about it. Just to really enjoy your life in such a way that you don't really. I think I read the wrong scripture. Here it is, Matthew 26:26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to his disciples. I'm in the wrong place again. I don't know what happened with my eyes. I cannot see. Chapter 20, verse 26. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whosoever desire to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desire to be first among you, let him be your slave. Look at verse 28. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. That's the verse I want to get into. In verse 28 in Matthew 20. Jesus did not came here to be the show business. He came here to serve and to rescue your life. Now, if you go to Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, page 647. You will find another action of Jesus. Acts 10, verse 38, he was very generous. Look at what Jesus says. Acts 10, verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. He was going around doing good. Going around doing good. Have you thought about it? I was preparing the sermon. I prepared the sermons about 6 months ahead. So as the month of the series come in, I start reading the scripture. And that hit me. I had to go to the doctor on Friday, away from here in Fremont. And I get out of the doctor's office. They do a process, a little tedious, of me. And I had to go. I was a little dizzy. And I look in the parking lot. And here I see this elderly person, 70 years old like me, trying to put a wheelchair into his brand new Cadillac. And his wife was already seated. So I ran to him and I said, can I help you? We are all the same age. How old are you? He said, 70, but the life was not too good with me. I said, well, I'm 70, but I'm good and good looking. Look how I am. And so I got him smiling and I put the chair inside. I said, well, you got a beautiful car and so on. Enjoy your life. And he looked at me. He said, where you come from? I said, that's from my mother. I said, you know, and I shake him and hug him. And I will kiss him unless in America they think it's something else. But in Arabia, they kiss each other in the cheek. And I said, well, have a blessed day. And he looked at me. And he said, who are you? I said, you think I'm an angel? No, I'm not an angel. I said, I'm just Pastor Otero. I said, I'm from Morning Hills. Oh, no wonder. There had to be a pastor because there is no people like that. See, people are anxious for a moment of goodness. Anxious. Jesus was like that, doing good. They don't care about him. They mistreated him. They criticized him. They judged him, but he was doing good. Nobody can stop me to do good. Nobody can stop you to do good. Doing good. Jesus was very generous. Look at in Acts 20, Acts chapter 20, and verse 38. Acts 20 and verse 38. Sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, that they will see his face no more, and they accompanied him. I think I had the wrong scripture. Forget about that one. I had the wrong scripture there. The Bible commands us to be loving. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5 in verse 2, page 690. Ephesians chapter 5 in verse 2. The Bible commands us to walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. Fantastic, don't we? Walk in love. No judging others. That's what means walk in love. But walk in love, accepting others. What about integrity? Look at, in the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 20. I hope I got it right here. In chapter 20, verse 22 to 26. Walking in integrity. That will is lost everywhere in the world. Luke Gospel chapter 20, verse 22, page 616. Is it lawful for us to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Hey, that's a good question. It is lawful to pay taxes or not? But he perceived their craftiness and said to them, why do you test me, said Jesus to these people? Show me a denarius, that's a coin, whose image and this inscription does it have? And they answered and said, Caesar. Look at verse 25. And he said to them, render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God. But they could not catch him in his words in the presence of the people, and they marveled at his answer and kept silent. Integrity. Integrity. Only once I was checked by the IRS, and there was a Mormon, the inspector, And I keep records of everything. You don't know, but I keep it recorded when I'm around and doing things. And so then during the day, I type everything that happened during the day. And I have a record. I have a whole room with files of my records day by day. So in case, in radio, when you work in radio, you have to have a written record of everything you said, because somebody's going to sue you. And you know, when I brought all these records with a little bag, I brought all of these and put it on the desk. I remember the inspector looked at Raquel and me and said, you know, I want to check you because pastors cheat all the time. But man, who's going to look into all of these? It's okay, go home, he said. Pastors cheat all the time. That hurts me more if he will go and spend 4 or 5 hours with me looking into all the details. Integrity. Integrity. So Paul said, do not be conformed. So we need to not be conformed to the world mentally. Now, secondly, we must not conform to this world physically. The bodies of ours are intended for one thing. Look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16, page 671. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16, page 671. The body that you and I have has a design from God. Look at here. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? You are the temple of God. You got it? You are, if you're a Christian, the temple of God. Go to 2 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians, go to 2 Corinthians in chapter 6 of 2 Corinthians. And go with me to verse 16 again. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. We are not to give our temple to Baal. Our dress, our posture, our actions should all be an honor and glory to God, because we are the temple of God. And the rule of thumb is this. When you are dressing up your body, you are dressing up for Christ Jesus. So when I come to church, I'm not cheap when I come to church. I'm dressing up for Christ Jesus. When I come to work in my office, I dress up for Christ Jesus. I may spend the day alone, but I dress up for Christ Jesus. I'm his representative. I'm the one who's going to tell somebody about Christ, and I want them to look in something that is dignity and dignify. We need to transform our physics. See, our bodies, some people dress it for calling the attraction the wrong attraction. And I want to say this with kindness. Young people, dress like a lady, like I told my daughter when she went to David. No blue jean and all this garbage. Dress like a lady, walk like a lady, talk like a lady, and they're going to respect you. And she was respected. And you need to do that. We lost that. So they will dress contemporary. Don't be like the world. Contemporary. You dress the best you can, and your own style. But remember, you dress your body so people can see Christ through your dressing. All right? If you have mini skirts and open tops, that they will see Christ? Question mark. You answer to that in your heart. So that's the way we are, okay? That's the way we are. We transform our bodies. Thirdly, we must not conform to the world socially. People say, well, you know, we are here in the world. No, we are not conformed. Look in John Gospel. Let's go to John Gospel, page 635. John Gospel, chapter 17 and verse 16. Chapter 17 and verse 16. This is the Lord's Prayer. Some people take Matthew 6, our Heavenly Father, the Lord's Prayer. That was the disciples' prayer. This is the Lord's Prayer, John 17. All right? And the first verse said that Jesus lift up his head and pray. This is, and look at verse 16, what he says. They are not of the world, talking about the disciple, just as I am not of the world. We live in the world, but we are not of the world. You know what this text is saying is this. The Gulf Stream is in the ocean, and yet is not a part of it. You know that in geography? Gulf Streams are part of the ocean, but they are not part of it. Believers are in the world, and yet they must not be absorbed by the world. The Gulf Streams maintains its warm temperature even in ice waters of the North Atlantic. If Christians are to fulfill their purpose in the world, they must not be chilled by the indifferent, godless society in which we live. Don't learn the vocabulary of the society in which we live. Don't repeat those words. Don't conform yourself to the style of this world. You are a Christian. And you walk like a Christian. And you talk like a Christian. And you behave like a Christian. Here in church, there in your house. The man who started this church lived across the street from me, now with the Lord, Brother Bob Holcomb. And I was under his eyes. He came to me, he heard me on radio, he asked me if we can start the church. And I said, how? And he came to my home with another family, we were three families, and another neighbor that I led to the Lord. We were four people, so we want you to be our pastors. But I have a busy ministry on radio, come on. And they went to Gilroy, and there was a Coast Federal Saving building, and there he asked me, bring your Italian Bible, let's lead to the Lord, to the manager. And it happened that the manager accepted the Lord Jesus, and he wanted to start a church right there in the bank, and we did. The boy, I was his pastor. He said, I want this man to be my pastor. But from his window, he can see clearly my house. And I have the custom, I'm in the garage. We're going to travel with one car. I step in the side of the door as there was a guard in the army. And, you know, you grab your car through size and cover the person that's going to be in. And I do that for my wife all the time. And he watched it for a year. He called me. He said, we congratulate you. We thought that you were a fake, but you really love your wife, he said. And I can't believe it, but people watch you. People watch you. People know who you are. And so we are not of this world. Believers are in the world, and yet they must not be absorbed by this world. And finally, fourth, we must not conform to the world spiritually. I want to tell you this. No nation in this world was ever more religious than Israel in the times of the prophet Isaiah. The temple was filled. The altar run red with blood of sacrifices. The religious festivals were strictly observed to the T, and the voice of prayer was heard in the house of God. But there was a lack of true devotion to God, to the point that God said, stop the service because you are funny. You want to read it? Isaiah chapter 1. I have not the page, I'm sorry. Isaiah chapter 1. I read it for you. Look at what happened. Isaiah 1, 13 to 18. Look at what happened. Isaiah 1, verse 13. Bring no more futile sacrifices. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moon, the Sabbath, and the calling of assemblies, I cannot endure iniquity and the sacred meeting. Now verse 14. your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hates. They are a trouble to me. I am weary of bearing them. You know why? Because spiritually, these people care less about God. Verse 15, when you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. These people, they went to the house of God. They went to the temple of God. And then after that, they live in the way they wanted. The Spirit of God was not speaking to their heart. Verse 16, wash yourself, make yourself clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes, cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, rebuke the oppressor, defend the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, say the Lord, though your sins are like as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be white as wool. Now, you see, I listen in the television, Christian programming, and the tendency now is to talk about the psychology of life. The tendency is to say how good you can improve your home and how wonderful you can have a successful life in this world. Your best life now is the book that is sold more than any other book, 3 million of them. But your best life is not now, friend. Your best life is the one who comes. And your best life is not now if you are not a Christian. Look at what the Bible said. This is going to hurt you, but it's in John Gospel, chapter 3, and it's not verse 16, it's verse 18. A friend here in the church showed me in his home this verse, and stay with me. Look at how carefully. John Gospel, chapter 3, and verse 18. He who believes in him is not condemned. Any person, anywhere in the world who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ is not condemned on the day of judgment. But he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Listen, my friend, Christianity is in the heart, a commitment to Christ. The church cannot save you. No sacrifice you can do can save you. No phony presence of your body and mind in church can save you. It's only when you say, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner, that can really save you. Amen. I'm waiting as I look in television. My wife don't want me to do that, but I get nervous. I'm waiting for that word. And the only thing I heard so far is, well, if you want to be saved, pray after me. No, saved for what? You need to be saved because God is going to judge the world in righteousness. And he's going to compare your life to his life. And if you don't match it, you end up in hell. And so, spiritually, we do not need to conform to the world. We need to tell the people like it is. God in love has sent the Lord Jesus Christ so that you do not go to hell if you come to believe in him. That doctrine is not for sale. We cannot smooth down the church. Look. Years ago, my daughter and my son-in-law had to leave a church in Portland because they, in order to get a larger church, when the people come in, they were already pre-Christians. They give a certificate of pre-Christian. Are we stupid or what? Excuse me, my wife said, don't say that word, but get me really mad. Are we losing the time in this pulpit? When it's believing in the Lord Jesus Christ that saves you. When it's giving your life to Christ and surrender and say, God, I even don't know what I'm doing. But your spirit is moving my spirit to believe in you and in your word. Spiritually, we are not to change a bit from the tradition of our fathers 500 years ago when they wrote the King James Bible. They fought for the truth and we need to still fighting for the truth. So the conclusion is this. It's found in 1 John chapter 2 and in verse 6, page 718. Page 718, when you find it, you go to chapter 2 and verse 6. Faith is illustrated by our personal behavior. Here is the text. He who says he abide means you are in Christ. He abide in him. He who says that you are a Christian because Christ is in you, out himself also to walk just as Pastor Otero walks. Just as Shafre walks. No, just as Christ walks. Don't put your eyes in any human being. Move your eyes from the pastor, from the deacons, from anybody, and put your eyes on Christ Jesus and read the four gospels like eager and jot down what Christ did and you do it now. That's the best psychology book you can ever have. God gave us four gospels, so they give you four characteristics of Christ. You read it, you jot down what Christ did. And when I prepared this sermon, and I saw that Christ was doing good, I was moved to see that fellow in Freeman, and to say, I can help that fellow. I can make it a little easy for him, and so on, and I can help it. And the guy, I think, is still talking to people. It was an Spanish guy, I can hardly understand him, but he helped me. You know what I mean? Are we Christians or not? That's my concern. I don't want to have a pastor of 3,000 people in church. I want to have a church that loves the Lord and follows the Lord outside this room. Outside this room. In their privacy or their home. Where Papa opens the Bible in the morning and read the scripture. Where Mama sings songs with their children and follows Daddy to the T so that the children see that there is a beautiful coordination in home and a beautiful thing. Where Daddy cares and where children said, we will do what my father has done. That's to honor your father and your mother. You repeat what they have done. Boy, parents, we really have to shape up. May God bless us that we will have a church that people can look and say, I know that person is a Christian without talking. Father, it is very, very, very difficult. I will say impossible to live the Christian life unless you give us your mercy and grace to do it. But Father, we are Christians, and because we are Christians, the Bible says in Titus that you have given us grace to all. And so Father, because we have the grace of God in our heart, oh God, I pray that the world will not overshadow your grace, that we will not smash the Spirit, but that we will follow you in obedience, that we will look into your word and be your children. Oh God, how we want to be like Jesus. So help us to read the scripture and to follow his steps. And when all is done, we're going to be careful to give you the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Into his love. know you more. Deep within my soul, I want to know you. Oh, I want to know you, to feel your heart and know your mind. Looking in your eyes stirs up within me cries that say, I want to know you. Oh, I want to know you.
When my daily deeds ordinarily lose life and song, my heart begins to bleed, sensitivity to Him is gone. I've run the race but set my own pace and face a shattered soul.
Now the gentle arms of Jesus warm my hunger to be whole. Oh, I want to know you more. Deep within my soul, I want to know you. Oh, I want to know you, to feel your heart and know your mind. Looking in your eyes stirs up within me cries that say, I want to know you. Oh, I want to know you. I would give my final breath to know you in your death and resurrection. Oh, I want to know you more. Oh, I want to know you, to know you more. Oh, I want to know you
so much. Thank you very much. Two of those, I saw them born. One. Were you here when you came to our church? That's amazing how the Bible provides truth, you know. Train up a child when he's young and when he gets older, you know, and hear these people right here. Now, as a conversation with you, how many graduated from college? Will you stand? Can you stand? You will graduate now. All right. And Lara is in Dominican Republic. It's getting closer to heaven. Speaks Spanish. and I know somebody else in the church graduated. And Lara graduated as a master in communications. And I think she's going to pursue her PhD in communication. Candice graduated on grammar school. To be a teacher, is that right? What do you call it? Bachelor in?
Science.
Yeah, the children. And hopefully she get a job. And she's going to another college to pursue her voice. And may God really bless you. Thank you. All right. Lord, how good it is to review our life and to realign our goals so that rather than pursuing ourselves, we pursue the will of God in our life. So, Father, Christianity is an example of walking with you. No wonder Paul told Timothy, be thou an example in conversation and manners and ways of life. And so, Father, cause us to be an example in our community, in our home, everywhere. Give us the strength, O Lord. We are weak, but you are strong. We trust you that you will cause us to be different. In Jesus we pray. Amen.